Oh, well, that's all ancient history now.
Hello and welcome to That's All Ancient History Now, the podcast that one fine day will fly away. Don't you know that Rome wasn't built in a day? With me today, as always, is a man who washes his clothes in urine and urine only, Jacob Paik.
Thank you, Pascal. Another beautiful introduction for myself.
You're welcome. And that is because I'm ruining a future, did you know? But that's what the Romans did. And that's what this series is about.
Romans,
yeah. No, urine. Jacob Paik's washing habits. How was your week?
Yeah, it's good. Saw you, didn't I?
Yeah, we did. We had a little time together.
Yeah, a little symposium of our own.
Mm-hmm. The mimosas were flowing.
Yes, many mimosas.
Mm-hmm. Too many mimosas.
Yeah. And then I was at Bjork in London last night. Yeah.
How was that?
Crazy. She's a wild girl.
Yeah. How old is she now?
She must be about 60, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
How's her voice?
As good as always.
What was she wearing?
Something crazy. Yeah. She looked like maybe dressed as the Queen, but with extra fluff coming out.
Oh.
Very three-dimensional costume.
Very nice.
Yeah, but it was a really good show, actually.
Yeah, how long did she do?
It started about 8:15, and then it finished about 11.
And are you a fan? Have you always been a fan? Or
my mum's always been a fan.
Okay, so not she a big was on fan in the myself, house.
But I knew the songs. Well, quite a lot of them were from her newish album.
Shh. Oh, did she do Shh?
No. She did a few of her old songs, but not that, no. Oh. No, I don't think she probably hasn't performed that for years.
That's mad. I'd be so sad.
Oh, they're much different. She's more of a Kate Bush on acid.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I had a heating issue in my house this week, but that's all fixed now. So rest assured, I'm not shivering.
Was that a problem with the boiler again?
Yes.
As always.
Yes. I also went to like a Chinese superstore this week to pick up some like Asian goods. We're gonna cook some Asian meals in the house, and we went into the first one, and I haven't been into many like Asian superstores in my life, but we walked like to this back room, which kind of looked like a stock room, but we were allowed there, and there was just like raw meat. Oh. And it was just like on the floor, and just it was like a bag had fallen and spilt raw meat all over the floor. No. But then on the top of the freezers, there was also raw meat. So like on the glass on the top of a freezer, it was really quite uncomfortable.
Yeah. Did you buy anything from there in the end?
No, we went to the next one. We got some really nice snacks. Got some tamarind.
What's
some
that?
Sriracha. Tamarind is like a paste. It's a highly concentrated paste. I don't really know what the flavour is because I haven't tasted it like just by itself, but Rika did. My girlfriend did. And she didn't look like she enjoyed it on its own. But it was very nice in our faux.
Is it fishy?
Well, I've always thought it's fishy. Shall we have a look right now?
Let's have a look.
Tamarind.
I think it's from a tree.
What does tamarind taste like? Sour, but not like a lime or a lemon, because it has a really different and pleasant smell. Okay.
Is it a fruit? Is it like the thing that's a mix of a lime and a lemon?
I think it's a legume, I think.
It can't be.
No, it's not. It's a leguminous tree bearing edible fruit that is indigenous to tropical Africa.
Oh.
And that's all ancient history now. I've been Pascal.
And I've been Jacob.
Do you want to do some Did You Knows?
Yes. Well, what are we going to talk about? What is this season about? Episode about?
So this is season 2 of That's All Ancient History Now, your favourite history podcast. And what we're going to be talking to you about this season, 6 episodes, is the Roman Empire.
The Roman Empire, yes. And we're going to start by talking about the birth of the Roman Empire, the foundations of Rome itself.
How it was formed... The leading events.
It wasn't always an empire, was it?
No.
No.
That would be difficult if something started as an empire.
Yeah.
So our Did You Knows are now Roman.
Roman themed, of course.
Of course.
We left the Greeks behind.
Goodbye, Greeks. But time period wise, it pretty much follows on from the Greeks. There's some overlap, but it pretty much continues. So let's have some boop, 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 boop.
Did you know?
Did you know? Did you know? Did you know? Did you know?
Did you know the inhabitants of ancient Rome had a sewer goddess, a toilet god, and a god of excrement? The gods were said to frequent the latrine in large numbers, and excrement was regarded as food of the dead.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty disgusting.
So they must have cared about their poop.
Yeah, well, they invented the sewers, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So I just thought that was nice. We just flush it away.
Yeah, they pray to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess they had gods to everything, didn't they? So
yeah, they did.
But you're going to find...
Sewer goddess, toilet god, and god of excrement.
It's not very noble, is it?
Every time you go to the toilet, you've got to think of those three people. Thank them.
Yeah.
You're done.
Dun-dun-dun-dun. Did you know that, I'm sure you did, but for those that don't, a C-section or a cesarean section is named after Gaius Julius Caesar, who we'll be talking about today, because that's how he was born. He was cut from his mother's tummy.
Oh no, really?
Yes, really.
Did his mum die?
I don't know.
Because
probably in those days.
I read somewhere that the average age of ancient Romans was 30 years old.
Yeah.
But that's right. it's affected by the infant mortality.
Yeah.
And exactly. the I don't know.
Mother's
mortality.
Children and mothers dying. Yeah.
Yeah.
And people would have been mothers, you know, a lot younger than we will be mothers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we ever are mothers, Pascal.
Only time will tell. Did you know, after the fall of the Roman Empire, the technology to make concrete was lost for 1,000 years? In fact, ancient Roman concrete has withstood attacks by elements for over 2,000 years, which is considerably longer than the lifetime of most modern concrete structures. How mad is that?
That's crazy. Is that talking about roads and stuff?
Roads, but also, like, I guess, the Colosseum?
Yeah. Is that... I don't know how they made that. We'll have to find out.
I'm sure we will.
For the whole episode we're going to do about the Colosseum.
Yeah, can't wait for that.
I do think we should. Okay. About what the goings-ons in there.
They filled it with water once.
Yeah, put a whole boat in it and all kinds of stuff. It's crazy. It's good fun.
Shall we? Oh, you've got one more.
I do.
Give it to me.
Again, Julius Caesar. Did you know that he was a very, very vain man? And he cared a lot about his appearance. And he didn't have the best of hair. So you'll see like pictures of him wearing this wreath over his head. And that's not because, you know, that's the crown that he wore or anything. It was to hide his baldness.
Oh, he was just embarrassed.
But on other parts of his body, he loved being bald so much that he had every single one of his beard hairs plucked out.
Ew.
Not shaved, plucked.
Why?
And I think on the rest of his body as well, just plucked.
Was that, like, cool?
I think it became sexy. Cool. I think it would have kind of gone around like that, yeah.
Wow.
But I think, personally, it was from a kind of a weird disposition he had for appearance and cleanliness.
That's very strange.
Yeah.
That's very strange. So, the founding of Rome. Should we just jump in? Yeah.
So Rome doesn't start with the Roman Empire.
Absolutely not.
Rome starts, you know,
way
700 years before that.
Yeah, we're talking 753 before Common Era.
And Pascal, I think you're going to tell a story.
I am going to tell a story.
About the founding of Rome. And you could even say that that dates back even further, maybe another 700 years or whenever the Trojan War was.
Yeah, which we covered in our last season.
Yeah, of course.
A bit.
Definitely did.
This is the story of Romulus and Remus, who, according to myth, were the founders of Rome, the city. There are, as there are with all of these types of things, many different accounts, many different versions, and many different stories of how it happened. This is just one of them. It's quite a common, popular one. It's not used in so much in like as fact. It's a myth, but it's a nice one. Romulus and Remus. They were born in Alba Longa, an ancient Latin city near the future site of Rome. They were children of Rhea Silvia, a Vestal virgin and daughter of former King Numitor. And the father is, of course, the god of Mars.
The god of Mars.
Is he the god of Mars?
He's the god of war.
Oh.
He's
from Mars.
No, he is Mars.
Okay.
That's his name.
Okay.
The planet's named after him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's how important he is.
That's pretty cool.
He's the Roman Ares.
Okay. We'll come on to them later. The twins, Romulus and Remus, were therefore descended from Greek and Latin nobility, which is a pretty good bloodline. King Amulius, at the time, saw them as a threat to his throne when they were born, and he ordered them to be killed. They were abandoned on the bank of the river Tiber.
Tiber.
Yes. I got it right first time. Should stop doubting myself. They're abandoned there to die. But of course, they were saved by the god Tiberinus. Tiberinus.
Yeah.
Do you know that one?
The river god.
The father of the river.
Father of the river, yes.
Raised by the care of others at the site of the future Rome, but most notably, the twins were suckled by a she-wolf in a cave which is today known as the Lupercal.
Yeah, they apparently were fed by a large lady wolf.
Yeah,
yeah, there's
of course. There's a big wolf.
Like a famous sculptor of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you check out, I've seen.
I
was on Instagram. You can see it too, because that was uploaded yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm ahead of the game. They're adopted after this by a local shepherd, Faustulus, and they grew up on a farm unaware of who they really were. Soon, they would become natural leaders and prominent figures in their community. They became embroiled in a dispute between the King Amulius and the former King Numitor. Obviously, granddad or dad.
Yeah, granddaddy, yeah.
This ended in Remus being taken prisoner, because they're embroiled in this fight, and sent to Alba Longa. It was suspected his true identity was known at this time by Amulius. I'm butchering this story. Romulus organised an escape plan to save his brother Remus, and during that time they both learned of their own past and rejoined their grandfather Numitor to get him on that throne. Amulius was later killed. They then set about to build their own city. They returned to the Seven Hills by the Tiber, but they disagreed on which hill to choose. Classic twins. So they thought, hey, let's take a look at these birds. They'll tell us what should happen. This is actually a thing called augury, which is the god of birds, or god's birds.
It's like getting messages from the gods through watching birds and messages of birds.
You know, like it was a sign.
Yeah.
Remus saw 6 auspicious birds, but Romulus, he saw 12. So he won. Yeah. This, as expected, so he claimed the victory. This, as expected,
I saw more birds than you.
Yeah, so it's mine, I choose. This didn't solve the dispute, but actually made it worse. Remus ended up being killed by Romulus or one of his supporters and went on to found the city of Rome and all of its institutions. He reigned for many years as its first king.
Yeah, and that's why it's Rome and not Reem.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because of a bird watching competition and a murder.
And a murder.
Yeah.
And that is the story of Romulus and Remus.
Yeah. And there's another story, which we were talking about before, called the Aeneid by Virgil, which is a story that comes a bit later, because this is probably the oldest story. But
yeah.
And there's another story which becomes kind of the national story of Rome's birth, and this is probably you know, in the time of the Empire.
Mm.
Which says that the story wants to say that Rome was founded by Trojans. So, I don't know, but they want to stick onto this. They've got a greater past than just 700 years. They've got 1,400 years of history. So the story goes, basically, the Trojan War ends, and Aeneas, who's the subject of the Aeneid, runs away from Troy after the Greeks win, sails around the Mediterranean looking for Italy, finds Italy, and then his son, Aeneas' son, when they're in Italy, founds that city where, I can't remember what it's called, you said it, where Romulus and Remus are born.
Oh, Alba Longa.
Alba Longa. And that Romulus and Remus are somehow descended from that Trojan prince.
Oh, okay.
So they've got royalty as well.
Mm, of course they do. There's also other stories, one by Dionysius of Halicarnassus. Don't really know about that one. Didn't read about it.
The other stories aren't important.
Yeah.
But it's just like another origin myth, basically.
Yeah, and we've had a look at those before, haven't we?
Yeah. But what we can say for certain, there was, you know, there are the seven hills. There were villages set up on each of these hills surrounding this river, and they eventually joined together to become Rome under their first king.
Romulus.
Well, yeah, Romulus.
Yeah,
he's the only, Romulus. He's the only king that we don't have any written evidence for, I think. Whereas we do for the other six kings, because there's a total of seven kings that rule over Rome.
I did read something about, there's lots of, it's in, like, culturally, it's like in a lot of, I don't know, movies or something like that, Romulus. And there's a movie out, I think, this year about Romulus.
Is there?
I think so. I might be making it all up. The King That Bathed or something like that.
Okay.
I don't know.
Check it out in cinemas near you, coming this winter.
Coming this winter, or it could already have come, maybe. I don't know. I don't remember. Anyway, shall we talk about the timeline?
Yes. Well, so from this point, there's 250 years of monarchy in Rome, a Roman kingdom. So we can kind of separate out the history of Rome from a Roman kingdom to a Roman Republic, and then a Roman Empire. The kingdom, it only lasts 250 years, and by the end of it, people basically want rid of the king. The last king left a sore impression on everybody, and his son raped a noble lady.
Yes.
And that was a good excuse to get rid of the king, so he was basically exiled. And then they said,
that's well, good, isn't it, for those times?
Let's not have any more kings. Let's form a republic where basically there's more checks on power, and people can't be, we can't have one ruler, basically. They do become, there becomes this connotation with kings, which becomes important when, you know, you turn into an empire later on.
Yeah.
But there's an association with kings that they're bad. Yeah. That's what I have to say about that.
Oh, right.
They still had quite, so when they formed the Republic, they got rid of the king and they introduced a lot more kind of authoritative positions that checked each other's power. But they did already have a lot of that under the monarchy, so the Senate continued. They had a Senate all through the kingdom, all through the Republic, and all through the Empire.
Yeah, mainly. So the Senate sort of, well, we're in charge now, in a way. Yeah.
Well, I think the last king had basically, because the Senate were there to advise the king and kind of tell him what to do and help him make decisions. And the last king didn't want to listen to them. And this is a kind of a repeating theme.
The last
theme
king
even.
Was Tarquinius Superbus, by the way.
Superbus.
Superbus.
Superbus. Yeah. Tarquinius.
And are the first consuls who were elected by the Senate, were they important? Were they anyone of note?
I don't know who they were. So, oh, yes. Well, they were probably the people that we were talking about before who helped kill not kill, oh, sorry, yeah, get rid of the last king. So one of them was called Brutus.
Oh, yeah.
And that came up because there's a lot of people throughout Roman history that have the same name, and it can get quite confusing. But one of the people that helps overthrow the last king is called Brutus.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes this position of consul, which replaces the king, and with somebody else, because there's two consuls, which are meant to be the top dog, who are in charge, basically.
Replacement kings.
Replacement kings, but with less, there's two of them.
Authoritative power.
Yeah, they both have to make the decision together. Mm-hmm. So any other consul can veto the other consul.
Well.
So they both have to be in agreement about the decision. And coalition. They're still both under the kind of advice of the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
They also introduced loads more positions that kind of some people to govern over the affairs of the city, some people to govern over the money and the armies. And
how long were the consuls allowed to serve for?
Just 1 year.
Yes.
Initially. That the rules start to get bended. Mm. As it goes on, but
of course they do.
Yeah. So their term was only 1 year, and they weren't allowed to stand for consul again for another 10 years. So it was really like, you know, there's not much bad you can do to a country in 1 year. You can do a lot bad, but
who elected them?
So it would have been the Senate.
Mm.
And the Senate aren't really. I think the Senate members of the Senate are elected by other members of the Senate. And to become a senator, you have to work your way up through so many different positions of power. And once you're a senator, for life. So you couldn't really go any further. You could serve as consul every 10 years for a year.
Mm.
But otherwise, being a senator is the best of the best. But it was all kind of aristocracy to up in that position for a long time.
Well, the working class Romans...
the plebs
were called plebeians, which is, I guess, where plebs come from. Did you think they called them plebs? Well, I guess they didn't speak English, so
it's not an English word.
No, plebeian isn't, but I don't think they would have shortened it to plebs.
I think they did.
Really?
Yeah,
it's a nice plebs thing to believe.
Well, we don't know.
In the 6th century, there was lots of antagonism between. This is before Christ. There was a lot of antagonism between the two classes. Finally, in 494 before Common Era, the plebeians left Rome and founded their own settlement on the Aventine Hill, and the patricians, which is the name of the like aristocrats, I guess, were forced to make concessions to win them back.
Yeah.
So they needed the plebs.
Yeah, so that you get a lot of kind of striking going on as well, because the whole system relied on the plebs, the plebeians, the working class.
The working class.
And they knew that, and they knew that they needed more power, and they should be better represented because they do all the hard work. So they do get a council, an assembly, the People's Assembly, which is for plebeians only, and they then get tribunes or tribunes who are representatives of that assembly, and they can
then
veto.
Go and speak to the.
They have the power to veto the Senate, and you see a lot of these kind of things being taken advantage of, even by aristocrats who will put in their friends or their clients
as tribune.
Yeah. Who are working class. They're not married to anybody of nobility or anything, but they're friends with these aristocrats, and they'll use them as puppets, basically.
Oh, wow.
To get in there.
Would there be bribes involved, do you think?
There was all kinds of dirty work going on. So,
like what?
Bribery, murders, assassinations, people walking through the streets with armies. There was a lot of ways to kind of bend power and take advantage of this system, which kind of, when we were saying it before, it sounds quite good, you know. There's these two leaders on top who have to make a unanimous decision, and they can only be in power for a year.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of work done to get there. And
yeah, and people's greed always gets in the way.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was sort of like society at that time. But what was going on foreign policy-wise? I say foreign policy.
So the when the Republic kind of comes together, it's 500 BC.
Mm-hmm.
For the next 200 years or so, there's a bit of expansion, but not much.
Okay.
And there's other, you know, competing countries or kingdoms or settlements in Italy.
Like here.
I don't know their names. Just
the Celts were in northern Italy.
Yeah, and you had the Etruscans and other people all around.
Phoenicians.
Venetians. I don't think.
Phoenicians.
Phoenicians. What's that?
They're like I don't know. We're gonna learn more as we go, I'd imagine. So the first 200 years, it was all reasonably calm, and then what happened?
Well, then you get the exciting wars, which are fun to talk about.
Okay, tell me.
Well, it is. There's the Punic Wars, which basically start off. So it's a war between Rome and Carthage.
Why are they called the Punic Wars?
Someone write in and tell us that.
Yeah,
I did used to know.
I should stop asking questions that you don't know the answer to.
Yeah.
Well, we I don't really know. Yeah, we should script them in. So the first Punic War.
Yeah, so there will be three Punic Wars, but these are just the wars between Rome and Carthage, which at this point, Rome's got quite big. You know, they've finally made it past Naples. And there's a bit of a scuffle around Sicily, which is owned by Carthage. And Carthage, the city, is in Tunisia, where Tunisia is now.
Tunis.
Yeah, if you, so it's not far from Sicily. If Italy is the boot kicking Sicily,
yeah,
Carthage is where it hits.
Yeah. Can I just say, I found something really interesting. The Punic Wars were a series of conflicts. Blah blah blah. The name Punic comes from the word Phoenician, which is Phoenix in Greek. And from Punicus in Latin, as applied to the citizens of Carthage, who were of Phoenician ethnicity.
Oh, I thought they were Carthaginians.
Ah, Phoenicians.
Phoenician Carthaginians. Well, that's answered two questions in one.
Wow.
Great research.
So,
work.
The boot is kicking Sicily into Tunis.
Basically, so there's this kerfuffle,
and it's over like. Land, is it, or yeah. power?
Yeah. Both. The three wars kind of they encompass about a period of 100 years. This kind of ongoing feud between the two, I don't know what to call them, empires, I guess.
Civilizations,
yeah. But one thing about Carthage was that it had a really good navy, and Rome didn't have a navy at all.
It's not on the sea.
No. So they went on to build a navy by finding some crashed or parked up Carthaginian, Phoenician vessels and copying them, basically, ripping them off.
Oh, wow. So that's a pretty good idea, really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you... Yeah, it's stealing technology.
Yeah.
Really. And they end up taking Sicily from the Carthaginians, and they also take Corsica and Sardinia as well.
Which are good strategic areas, as we learnt in the Greek Empire.
Well, they're good islands.
Yeah, they're good islands, and strategically they're in a good place.
Yeah.
They're between North Africa and the rest of...
Europa.
Yeah. Well, other than Spain.
West Europe, yeah.
Where the Carthaginians... are also based, aren't they?
Yeah, so they had a bit of Spain, but then after Rome took all these islands, they then took even more of Spain, Carthage.
Make up for it.
Yes, and then there's a guy called Hannibal who goes nuts and rides an army of elephants.
Yeah, so they go, if you think about a map, they go up through Spain... across the south of France.
Over the Alps.
Over the Alps.
Yeah.
into Italy.
Actually across, like, over mountain paths.
Yeah.
You know, elephants falling off the side of mountains and dying. And
stuff. That's sad.
And then start fighting their way down through northern Italy.
Which is quite a long way.
It's a long way to go. And during this time, they don't have any kind of supply route coming to them. Especially when they get further down Italy.
Yeah.
And Hannibal stays around here for 16 years.
Wow.
Just going pillaging across Italy with this army with elephants.
Mm.
Then there's this guy called Scipio, he's a Roman guy. And this time Hannibal's still in Italy. Scipio, with kind of warnings from the Senate not to do it, goes and takes Spain away from Carthage. Mm-hmm. Takes a big chunk of Spain. He keeps on going. Goes down to Carthage eventually, which causes Hannibal to leave Italy and return to Carthage. And then defeats him in battle there. And they burn Carthage to the ground.
Mm.
And they pour salt in all the fields so that nothing grow there for 1,000 years or something.
Wow.
Yeah, they really go into it.
So, and that was the second Punic War?
That would be the third and final Punic War. The second would be Hannibal coming down through northern Italy.
Cool. So in 106, Cicero was born.
Oh, Cicero? Yeah.
I know. There's quite a lot to get through here.
Well, Cicero's mainly interesting because we know so much about him and we have so much of his own written work. But he was an orator. And that was a profession you could be, just a speaker. He could talk and he could write speeches really well. But you can buy like a book of his letters, and it's really interesting just to see about his life.
Mm.
We don't have time to talk about him here, but he does a lot during his lifetime, and he didn't have any kind of noble birth, but he goes on to become consul at one point. He puts through a lot of laws which are kind of beneficial to the people en masse. They're just not nice, good, fair things.
Mm.
He didn't seem like a really power hungry, greedy guy. But eventually he's exiled and he dies somewhere.
Mm. That happens to a lot of people, it seems.
Yeah. So 100 BC, this is when all the juiciest stuff happens.
Mm.
And when we see Julius Caesar come into being.
Here he is. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there is a period where there's this guy called Sulla who comes along. And what consuls had is this one power where they could kind of become a dictator. That was built into the constitution, that in an event, an emergency, they could become, or if there's like a war and someone, they need to make decisions fast.
Okay.
They can't be debating over decisions with the other consul, who can just say no. They have this power to become a dictator, which I think in Latin to English just means speaker, like dictate.
Yeah.
So they are the one who tells people what to do. And Sulla kind of famously did this and used it to his advantage a lot. And he made a lot of reforms, some good, some bad. But the most notable thing about him kind of talking about a republic turning into an empire is his little general protege, Pompey, who's this military might, and he sails around busting up pirates.
Yeah, and he fought under Sulla.
Yeah, originally. And lots of laws were passed during Sulla's reign that helped Pompey go on to conquer more things that, you know, he otherwise wouldn't have been able to do in battles he wouldn't be able to go to.
Okay, yeah. So they were like, he was like helping him out.
Yeah, and then that's a pattern you see a lot when you get the formation of the first triumvirate.
Yes, which is like a consul, but there's three of them.
Yeah, it's not an official position.
Yeah.
It's just...
They're just like boys.
Yeah, it's the three kind of...
The three musketeers, the three lads.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is Pompey, Crassus, and...
And Julius Gaius, Caesar.
Julius Caesar.
Yeah, and Julius Caesar's kind of... You know, he's a very charismatic guy, but he doesn't have the noblest of births, and he wants power.
Mm-hmm.
Pompey is this great general who has the allegiance of hundreds of the armies are loyal to him. And quite often people, the armies aren't necessarily loyal to Rome at this point, but they're loyal to the person that pays them or that leads them. And a lot of people are loyal to Pompey, and Crassus has a lot of money.
He's rich.
They combine their powers and they come together to become this one great power.
So then what happens with this triumvirate? Bearing in mind, we're very low on time now.
All right, so in a nutshell...
Can I read out the timeline?
No, can I talk?
Okay. You've been talking.
Oh, sorry. But I've got stuff to say about that.
All right, say it. Tell me.
So Crassus basically bribes Caesar's way into power, and Pompey scares everyone into letting Caesar become consul. Caesar's consul for a year. Naturally, you have to be for a year. And he breaks a lot of rules. He does things to piss people off.
Mm-hmm.
And breaks quite a lot of laws that would have seen him kind of put in prison. But yeah. You can't be whilst you're a consul.
Oh, really?
And you can't be whilst you're a general. So he becomes a general after his consulship is over and goes off to... Well, he becomes a governor of Gaul or something. Mm-hmm. And goes off on a massive campaign in Gaul.
Of course he does.
Yeah, just fighting places. He invades Britain at one point. I think he gets as far as the Thames.
Yeah.
Then Pompey, basically, with the Senate, says, now you have to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens?
Rubicon. The Diocast. Yeah. I don't know what that means.
So Caesar does come back, but he doesn't disband his army.
Okay.
And he brings his whole army, crosses the Rubicon, which is river in northern Italy, and he famously says the die is cast, or the die are cast.
Okay.
Basically the fate.
It must be the die is cast.
Well, there's a big discussion about it, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, basically meaning my fate is sealed as he crosses this river, because that is kind of the biggest crime. And he comes down, swoops through with his army and takes power.
Wow.
Yeah.
What happened to Pompey's army?
Did he not have one? Yeah. They run away. Well, Pompey...
Oh, I thought you meant like they had fleas, so were a bit useless.
Yeah, they got fleas and they didn't want to fight.
Yeah.
Well, Pompey runs away because he knows that Caesar's not very happy with him anymore. And he goes to Greece. Caesar follows him. Then he goes to Egypt. Caesar follows him, defeats him finally. He lets all his troops off. He says, no, you're fine. You can go home. He meets Cleopatra. Not the first person to meet Cleopatra.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he is the first, maybe. But he's not the last. Then he goes back to Rome. And then he becomes kind of...
Dictator for life.
Dictator for life, he pronounces himself.
Oh, until later until, that year.
Yeah,
he's killed.
He's slain.
He's slain by a different Brutus.
Yeah, Republicans, we can call them at this point, because
they
saw the comings of an emperor, basically.
Okay, Brutus and Cassius stabbed him on the Ides of March, the 15th of March, in 44. So then they've got the... then you've got the second triumvirate with Lepidus. Lepidus, who? Octavian and Mark Antony?
Yeah.
Or is that...
Yeah. Mark Antony, Octavian, and Lepidus.
Octavian in 36 strips Lepidus of power.
Yeah, after Octavian and Antony had defeated the Republicans in Greece.
Oh.
And then there's a bit of a dispute, and I think Mark Antony goes off to be with Cleopatra. Well, yeah, but Cleopatra's made a bad decision there.
There's some technical difficulties. Please continue. So he goes off to Cleopatra.
Yeah, and Octavian returns to Rome.
Yeah.
And then there's another battle in Greece, but this time Octavian versus Mark Antony and Cleopatra, which is kind of also the end of Hellenistic Greece as well. It's called the Battle of Actium. And then Octavian comes back and says, I'm emperor, call me Augustus. And he's Augustus Caesar.
Nice to meet you, I'm emperor, call me Augustus. And why did he want to be Augustus?
We'll talk about it next episode.
Okay.
And we'll talk a bit more about Octavian.
Will we also talk about the calendar?
Yeah.
Hint, hint, wink, wink. Augustus.
Yeah. Well, I think it was Julius Caesar who first kind of made the calendar, or was it Octavian?
No, I think Julius might have done the calendar, but
Augustus, that's why we call it the Julian
named
calendar.
August after yeah. himself.
Yeah, of course.
And July was Julius.
July, yeah.
What a story. Please, thank you for filling me in, because I knew absolutely nothing about that.
The last bit we rushed over, but that will come up next episode when we start talking about...
Yeah, because that's like the real beginnings. It's the fall of the Republic and the rise of the Empire.
Yeah.
But that's kind of basically the general outline, and we'll come more to the end of that next week, won't we? Which I guess will be, what will we do?
We'll talk about... what it is like to now be an empire.
Yeah.
What are the differences? What is it? What is
sounds good to me. And that's been the show. Please get in touch with us on the socials. I haven't had anyone writing in yet, and it's really quite disappointing. So if you've made it this far, think of it as a little treat for yourself. That only you've heard about this. So give me a tweet. Give me a DM on Instagram. And we'll talk about whatever question you have in the next episode, because we'd really love to hear from you, wouldn't we?
Yeah, we're lonely.
Hmm?
We're lonely.
What? Yeah, we are lonely. It's just me and my phone, you and your phone, and our microphones.
Yeah.
It's just us and our phones. We need some company. But subscribe to the show, so you get the next one in your subscriptions. Give us a rating and a review. That's always nice. And we'll see you next week to talk some more, won't we?
Yeah, I've been Jacob.
And I've been Pascal. And that's all ancient history now.
Oh, well, that's all ancient history now.